Welcome back to another episode of Wicked Hot, everyone. This is John.
And Kevin.
And Kevin, we determined that we need 50,000 subscribers.
Yeah, I think that's the next goal, 50,000 subscribers. So if you're listening right now, you might as well just subscribe. You might as well just hit the button.
Hit that subscribe button. Exactly. As always, we post on the Instagram every week to let you guys know what the next episode's going to be. A little guess who, if you will. Kevin, what do we post? And if anyone got it, who did?
Nobody got it. We posted a picture of, it's actually part of the poster from This Film Is Not Yet Rated, which we talked about last week, a film about the rating system and basically breaking open the whole MPAA and exposing all of their stuff. So we posted a picture of that poster censored out and nobody got it. But we're moving on to part two of this.
We're moving on to a part two of this. Last week, it was the MPAA and U.S. rating system. We're actually going to be looking at two English-speaking countries, that of the United Kingdom and Australia. Just to remind everyone on the format here, I will be going over the United Kingdom and all its history with all the little nice little tidbits. Kevin will be diving into Australia. So grab your big old bag of popcorn and let's get into it in 3, 2, 1.
Wicked smart, wicked cool, wicked fucking stupid, whatever the fuck, something wicked.
I'm baking like a toasted cheese, it's so hot here!
My boy's wicked smart.
Cause the boy is hotter than hot, he's hot.
Hot! Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
As I said, continuation of last week's episode, we're looking at how other countries rate their movies similar to the MPAA. We talked about how the MPAA ruled with an iron fist, had a huge influence on American cinema, but I want to talk about another board just across the pond in merry old England, and that is the British Board of Film Classification, the BBFC. Big, big fucking censors. To my surprise, the MPAA wasn't the standard that other countries ended up copying. The predecessor of the BBFC was founded in 1912 as the British Board of Film Censors. So still BBFC, they just got rid of censors and made it classification because I guess censors makes it seem like it's something that's not good, which we'll get into later. Initially, the board was founded on the basis of health and safety by Parliament's passing of the Cinematograph Act of 1909. The whole idea of this act wasn't to censor films on the premise of content, but rather on the actual cellulose film that filmmakers would use to showcase their films. In its early days, a lot of films were showcased in less than conventional locales, such as shops, fairground tents, other exhibition halls, and this is essentially what the Nickelodeon was for the United States.
Yeah, if you didn't know that Nickelodeon was not just a kids' channel, it is, and it blew me away when I found out.
Yeah, so actually, they aren't known as Nickelodeons in the UK. They are known as Penny Gaffs, which, if the channel was called Penny Gaff, it's definitely less of a marketable tool.
That sounds like an off-brand Nickelodeon, like the, you know, the Disney Channel or something. It's like a wannabe Nickelodeon. But it's also Penny Gaff. That is inherently sounding British.
Yeah. Like, oh, you come to the Penny Gaff. I feel like Nickelodeon sounds way more British, personally.
It does. They're both really weird words.
Oh, you're going to the Nickelodeon this weekend. This weekend. That's how they say.
That's some Downton Abbey accent.
That's like my aristocrat British accent. So why introduce the Cinematograph Act of 1909? Well, like I said, less conventional locales, but the nitrocellulose film is extremely flammable, so the Act of 1909 was used for censors to certify that the print itself, not really the contents of the print, was suitable to be shown.
Yeah, that's how they kill Hitler in Inglourious Bastards.
I was going to say, if Inglourious Bastards taught me anything, a film back then was basically gunpowder.
It really was.
Exactly. Although I think Sam Jackson does explain it better.
At that time, 35mm nitrate film was so flammable that you couldn't even bring a reel onto a streetcar.
Hey, you can't bring those there in a public vehicle. They're films, ain't they?
Yes.
Then they're flammable. Going off off.
Because nitrate film burns three times faster than paper. Shoshana has a collection of over 350 nitrate film prints.
See, can't be explained better than that. But the BBFC quickly changed its regulatory practices on certifying film prints and quite literally started to certify or censor what material was on those film prints. This came about with the same intent as the MPAA in the US. We have a booming film industry that was afraid of government censorship or any sort of interference, and so they set up their own. Much like in the US before the implementation of the Hays Code, local British authorities were already restricting certain topics in cinema from being released. So just like how we had in the United States with local censor boards, kind of the same thing was happening in the UK. Of course, despite being a nonprofit, the BBFC charged fees, of course,
of course,
in order to rate a film, either U or A, Universal or Adult, which were the only two certifications that were around at the time. And of the two certifications, there were only two individuals who examined all the films that were submitted to the BBFC.
Jesus.
And just like the MPAA, the examiners' identities were kept secret. I'm pretty sure that is still the case to this day. The only exception is that, and this is just off of research that I found via the BBFC's website, they are very much, much more so than the MPAA, transparent on the process. They have student guides on how things work. They actually have a segment where you can rate your own trailer. Like, they kind of give you the guidelines and you get to rate it yourself.
Wow.
They give you the basically kind of like the executive board of who runs the BBFC. So it's much more transparent. Very educational website. I would recommend, if you want to know more about the exact topics that I go over with the UK, definitely go on the BBFC's website. I'm sure, like any other company, it's going to make themselves look much better probably than other people have reported on. But honestly, they, based on what I can find, like from reporting and what they put on their website, they were not hiding their past.
That's pretty crazy, because if you look at the MPAA website, which I have for our last episode's research, it basically looks like the Scientology website. Like, MPAA can do no wrong. They've never done anything wrong. Like, and nothing is out in the open with the MPAA, which I like about at least the UK or Great Britain, that at least they're open. I mean,
right,
even
right.
The members are still kind of shrouded in mystery, but at least they're open about how they do stuff, which the MPAA is not.
Yeah. And I feel, and this is just kind of like a little bit of an ad lib, but I feel as if the BBFC doesn't share their board members' identities, or not board members, but the censors' identities, is because of maybe corruption, like paying off someone.
Yeah.
Or I feel like, as in the MPAA, it's to keep people from like haunting these people, because they probably do shady shit all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And they just don't want to have their employees essentially exposed to the anger of Hollywood for, oh, I wanted to get this release for this rating for a more general audience.
Yeah. Rather like getting an angry call from fucking Harvey Weinstein, like bitching about how his movies rated.
I don't think that's what he's bitching about nowadays.
No, maybe 5 years ago he was doing that. But
much like what Will H. Hayes did for the MPAA, the newly appointed president of the BBFC, T.P. O'Connor, set up rating guidelines for the Cinema Commission of Inquiry. So this commission was set up by the UK's National Council of Public Morals. Which brings me to one of my first topics of open discussion. Even though the BBFC was set up to act as a separate entity and not at all influenced by government, politics, I don't understand how it is that creating a list to satisfy a government not count as government interference. It makes zero sense. That's like saying a local magistrate comes up with things that aren't laws, but they are just to satisfy funding for like a government. It's
it's a little ridiculous, and I guess at least they're a little more open about it. Like, I go back to the MPAA. They have no government involvement at all on paper. But behind the scenes, they have a shit ton because all of their directors are former political figures. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy that they preemptively do this shit. Like, you know, MPAA did this because they needed to police themselves rather than having the government. But they could have come up with something better. Or they could have come up with... They're like too focused on censoring themselves.
Right.
Rather than... And like being a pseudo-government entity that they kind of lose track of what they're actually there for. I think that's what happened with the MPAA. Like, they're just a lobbying group now.
Right, right. And I feel like the BBFC may not be like that now, but then it's really to appeal to the conservative group that wants to be staunch about, you know, their certain idea,
yeah,
or views. And so to protect, even though it isn't a government entity, and I feel like it's still kind of acting on behalf of the government, I feel that as if a private company is doing this, it's probably not as bad as if the keys were essentially handed over, like the BBFC goes to the, you know, British government and says, hey, here you go, you guys can rate it. I feel like that would be, first of all, a waste of time for politicians.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be honest, that's really the first thing. They have way more important things to do than worry about what a fucking kid's watching in the movie theater.
Yeah.
Or at home. And second, you're giving this, you know, task for something that I feel like would be huge arguments that don't need to happen, which really just kind of ties back to my first point of just they don't have time for this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that I can think of is they don't have time, so they leave it to us to police ourselves, but the people that have taken it over are just like running with the power and not relinquishing it.
That's true. And, you know, the guidelines were pretty close in nature to those that were implemented by the MPAA in the U.S. So T.P. O'Connor didn't come up with the code from nothing. Instead, he based it off what the previous examiners had deemed inappropriate historically. So when the BBFC first came about, he came up with these rules similar to how Will H. Hayes came up with the rules, but he used whatever the two censor people that were in charge. He's like, okay, they rated it this way, they rated it this way, and I was able to kind of construct a certain amount of guidelines. And he ended up coming up with 43 bullet points. And as you can imagine, in this time, basically any form of depravity was deleted from the film as it related to nudity, sex, excessive drinking, drugs.
Did they actually edit the film, the print of the
yes.
film? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I found this one was interesting. Realistic depictions of warfare was deleted.
What year is this?
So T.P. O'Connor actually was the president of the BBFC in 1916 all the way to 1929. So it was within this time, which I guess, coming to think of it, 1916 and, you know, after all the way through the 20s, I'm sure no one really wanted to relive World War I that had just ended in 1918. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean...
Are people making like war movies back then?
Maybe for propaganda purposes, but
well, yeah, I guess
if it's afterwards, it doesn't make sense.
Birth of a Nation is a war movie. Technically, it's a war movie.
It is a Civil War movie, though, right?
It is a Civil War, yeah, and it was before 1916.
True, true. But yeah, I mean, amongst the other ones, it's vulgarity, politics, attempts to disparage public figures, and separate entries for disparaging the king. I mean, the rest of these, aside from the king stuff, are basically derivative, but the next series of special ratings came as a bit of a surprise to me. In 1932, the category H standing for horrific, was created solely for the purpose of rating horror films. Which is hilarious that horror gets
that's kind of cool.
Rating.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah, so instead of A for adult, it gets an H for horror. So shout out to the horror fans. And, you know, it always reminds me of this one point. You know how in previews you can sometimes be surprised if a movie is a horror movie depending on how the trailer is cut?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's spoiled immediately in England up until the 50s. They're just like, this is a horror movie no matter what.
Oh, man. Can you imagine those people that are like, you know, releasing a movie about a killer, but it's not a horror movie or something? Or it's like, you know, some awesome drama, but it's like stamped with that H and they're like, fuck, I'm not a horror movie.
Do you think you need to re-edit the whole movie to make it a horror movie?
You might as well. If you're going to get the H, you might as well go all the way.
It's like The Sound of Music being like recut. It's like the Nazis are like Nazi zombies. It's like Nazi zombies. She's like in Austria singing. And it's just like, oh my God, Nazi zombies. The Sound of Music, rated H, in a theater near you. Oh, and Kevin, by 1951, our favorite rating, X, took over H and limited audiences to people over 16. So it was short-lived, but, you know, rating X is just way more fun than H.
Yeah. And I love it when you get the XXX for porn.
Yeah.
They really ran with the whole X thing.
Or XXX, as in the Vin Diesel film.
And Ice Cube film.
And Vin Diesel coming back in Return of the Xander Cage. So let's reel back to that category H. The whole reason it was created, it was made in response to the King of Horror, Boris Karloff's Frankenstein. So there's a specific scene in that film where a child is killed by being drowned by the monster unintentionally. Like the monster is just kind of, he doesn't understand what he's doing. This is to pose the second question for discussion. There becomes a recurring theme for the way the BBFC censored films. And that was how the film affected children. Basically came down to the previous rating of U and A, where A was more for adults, but children could still be present. Compared to the MPA, do you think the BBFC's practices were worse? I mean, it's only centered around kids. Like, kids was the main, like, the 100% main point on this.
No, I don't think, especially at this time, I don't think the BBFC is worse than the MPAA. Because MPAA is, yeah, a BBFC is, that's what I come back to. BBFC is censoring stuff, like, legitimately cutting, like, masters of the movie.
Right.
Master Prince. So, I still think the MPAA is worse at this time. Because you literally can't do anything. Like, if it is not a G-rated movie, you can't release that movie. At least from, like, the 20s to, like, the 1945-ish.
Right, right. I know, I find that funny that it's like, the MPAA was just like, there's no rating. There's one rating, and that's G.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, I feel like, when you think about it, how everyone is extremely sensitive about fucking everything nowadays. Clearly, when people are like, back in my day, we wouldn't get, you know, all butthurt about stuff. I feel like back in that person's day, it was like a mirror image, which is funny because that was, you know, roughly like 80 to 100 years. So it's essentially a like generation, two generations.
It's like a
passed.
Cyclical thing. It's like everybody is offended. And then for like 60 years, nobody's offended. And we're back at the point where everyone's offended again.
I know. The MPAA is like, oh God, every movie needs to be G. We can't do this anymore.
Yeah, they're going to come out with a new rating and it's like G. And that's it. Like nothing else.
Yeah. Kevin, in fact, you think the BBFC wasn't worse, right? You're thinking MPAA was worse.
Yes.
I'm going to see if you're still on board with the MPAA being worse.
Okay.
Because I just want to show how insane they took the innocence of children. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, right? Was originally rated as A, which at this time is for adults, but children can still be present. They don't have to be supervised. It's just themes
like
are more...
It's like PG.
Right, right. Cuts were made to comply to get it to a U rating back in the 30s. But even with the cuts to the film, the BBFC still kept the A rating until the same edited version was released again in 1964 and then was finally given the U. So you have 1930 Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, edited, gets an A rating. 1964, it's re-released in theaters. That edit, same edited version, finally got the U.
I'm trying to think what's in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs to warrant that rating.
Right. So try another 20 years later when it was re-released in the 80s on video and in theaters, and it was finally giving a U rating uncut. So it took 50 years from when Snow White came out in the 1930s to the 1980s where the uncut version that was released in the United States was given the U rating for film.
Damn. But see, they moved out of the everyone's offended phase. Yeah. And they moved into the no one's offended phase. So they're like, oh, fuck it, you.
I feel like that's a blow my dick off moment, if I'm being serious.
What, that it's...
That it was like, that you had to cut?
Yeah. Film? Like, what did they cut from the movie? I want to know. I want to see the UK version and the American version side by side.
Yeah. Unless there's like a hardcore, like... God.
Jesus. 7-on-1 gangbang or what?
Do they smoke?
I think they do. Yeah, one of the dwarves has a pipe. When God knows what's in it.
I don't know.
It's cut for like horrible drug use and it's like turns out it's like crack or something.
What it comes down to is that the BBFC is all about the kids. As their two guiding principles are, quote, to protect children and vulnerable adults from potentially harmful or otherwise unsuitable media content, and to empower consumers, particularly parents, and those with responsibility for children, to make informed viewing decisions, end quote. Now, I understand parents want to protect kids from viewing things, but more and more I speak to people, they'll tell me that incredibly violent or unchildlike films were some of their first films that they've ever seen. And I don't know if I'm wrong in saying this. I just feel like, and this is the current guideline right now, that they're just living based on archaic codes. And I don't know if it's maybe because, you know, we grew up in the 90s where I feel like those lines were kind of like blurred at that point.
Yeah, I saw Goodfellas when I was 11, so.
I mean, that isn't like too small, but I feel like you're not 12. And I feel like in this scenario, you're not going to be allowed to see rated R Goodfellas that has drugs and, well, I guess there's no tits in it.
I don't think we are. Yeah, I guess we're back to the time where everybody's offended. So when I saw Goodfellas when I was 11 in the 90s, like nobody cared. Like it wasn't, like parents didn't think about kids seeing stuff. And like right. Acting that shit out. Like I didn't want to be a fucking gangster after I saw Goodfellas.
Right.
So, and now that's like every parent's thinking is like, oh my God, my kid can't play Fortnite because then he's going to go out and kill people. Like that's the mentality that people have now. So it's like, we're going back to those archaic codes of the early 1919s and 20s.
Yeah, no, I will agree with that. That's definitely true. Although in response to your Goodfellas thing, if anything, he does end up becoming in witness protection and living like a boring suburb life. So what the movie really is saying is if we became gangsters, we just end up back where we were anyway. So who fucking cares?
That's true. Yep.
And we'll I'm just kidding, up- people. Kids, that's not actually the message. Do not become a Italian mafia person.
Yeah, exactly.
So the classifications that these films are rated on are similar, but a tad different in the United States. Kevin and audience, let's see if there's one that pops out to you as much as it did for me. Usual suspects in today's code, drugs, language, nudity, sex, sexual violence, violence, dangerous behavior, and discrimination. I actually really like this discrimination classification. I think it can help mold the child into thinking like a human of the future rather than the past. They also express in their classification as, quote, outdated attitudes, end quote.
That's a good description.
Yeah.
I actually like those.
Yeah.
I feel like those could apply more than any violence. Like, what the fuck does violence mean? Like, violence could mean anything.
That's very true. Yeah, I mean, by the 80s, the BBC had not realized that there was a major loophole for films to be released uncut and unrated via home video. Already, there was a bit of a censorship law that covered pornography to be rated and even outright banned in the UK.
Wow.
And that was via the Obscene Publications Act. So there was no legal basis for videos that weren't already rated for the theater to be refused to be sold to what would later become minors, so like kids, right? Even horror films that were released in theaters that were cut to meet a certain criteria, they ended up releasing the uncut version, making it essentially a loophole in the system as a new film, but releasing it on video, which surpassed the censors. You didn't need to submit your film if you were going to just release it on video, because smaller audience, I guess they think it'll affect less people. Either way, loophole in the BBFC system.
Yeah, they're basically making their movie that's in the theater like a giant trailer for the unrated version that's going into stores.
That's not a bad move, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, someone caught on, and it sparked outrage from the conservative media. It was spearheaded by the conservative pressure group Media Watch and its leader, Mary Whitehouse. They labeled them as video nasties. And they were a bunch of films showing depravity, and they basically were saying it's falling into the hands of children. Children are going nuts. They're becoming criminals. They're doing all this nasty shit. And these are the video nasties. So this kind of got the government thinking like, oh, fuck, this is a huge problem. We need to get on this immediately. So the conservative pressure group so nicely created a list of obscene films, what they considered obscene films. They submitted it to the authorities to have them seized and the distributors prosecuted under the initial Obscene Publications Act. There were actually multiple raids during the 80s to seize the illicit material. So we have legit fucking raids of police officers, predominantly in the Manchester area, by this very conservative, like, chief inspector, whatever it is in the UK. And they would raid video stores to take copies of videos that aren't supposed to be sold in their eyes. And it basically was like the DEA for films, which is fucking insane that there was like DEA level raids on video stores.
It just doesn't make sense that there would be that level of crackdown on a movie that you watch. Like, why? Yeah. Why is all this time and effort and money going into catching these guys who have these unauthorized VHSs?
Right.
When they could be catching like fucking heroin dealers and shit.
No, I agree. And it's funny because this didn't just happen to, you know, random films that were, you know, like those really shitty like cult movies that are like outrageously violent or whatever. This happened to legitimate films. So even though I guess this can technically be considered a cult film, one of the most notable films that was essentially banned was Evil Dead. And it was all the videos were seized. The distribution company was prosecuted, but acquitted. And interestingly enough, the filmmakers for Evil Dead, they made cuts to the video in 1990 to avoid future prosecution. Because even though they were acquitted, they're like, we can't risk being, you know, sent over for prosecution again. I guess there's no like double standard law in the United Kingdom.
Double jeopardy.
They're just like, all right, double jeopardy.
With Ashley Judd.
And it wasn't until 2000 that the uncut version of Evil Dead was released on video, rated 18. That's fucking nuts.
That's so it's like almost embarrassing to be that recent for a fucking movie. Like, this is modern times we're talking about, and people are still like worried about fucking Evil Dead.
Yeah. It's funny because when I was looking at things about this Lady Mary Whitehouse, there was a lot of people that say that she was very much against, you know, what we consider liberal things like gay rights, just basically anything that's what we consider normal today, she was against, which is true. I think she's definitely 100% against it. But the people that come to defend her, it's like the same thing, like, oh, she's protecting the traditional values of England, that at the time a lot of things were crumbling because the 80s, and we were losing our sense of identity, I guess, which I think is kind of a cop-out move. I understand what they mean, but, you know, either way, I guess Evil Dead didn't comply to English standards, or her English standards.
Yeah. I mean, looking at it now, it's like campy, and the gore is just like not realistic at all. So the fact that it's still banned up until 2000 is kind of ridiculous.
Right. Because of the whole debacle with the video nasties and the whole loophole with releasing films, Parliament introduced a new law that would close the video loophole. Now, you have to think of most of these cult videos, even though they're being prosecuted under the Obscene Publications Act, if they went to court, they weren't seen as really violating the act. So in response, the Video Recordings Act of 1984 came about that made it mandatory for all video format to carry a classification and for them to be sold to the person who meets the minimum age based on the classification. So in other words, unlawful to sell to if the movie's rated 12 and there's a 8-year-old that comes into your video store by himself to buy a video, you can't sell it to them.
What kind of parent is letting their 8-year-old go into a video store to buy a video on their own? I guess in the 80s, that kind of shit happened. Nowadays, you get CPS called on you.
Seriously. Yeah, that's like the Kevin McAllister thing. Like, he's going to buy a toothbrush, asking about if it's approved by the Dental Association. Yeah. You wouldn't have that shit today.
No.
To be like, oh my God, call 911 and CPS. But Kevin, the crazier thing about this story, about this whole Video Recordings Act of 1984, is that this law basically was found in 2009 to not be valid at all.
What does that mean?
So, all laws that are passed in Britain have to be submitted to the European Union within a year's time of it being in effect in the UK. The UK has been a member of the EU since 1973. And they did not inform the EU of their new Video Recordings Act of 1984. So any and all things that were in process of being prosecuted had to be abandoned. In 2010, the UK finally created a new law, which was the Video Recordings Act of 2010. And it was created to incorporate the laws specified in the Act of 1984. So instead of a revision, it's basically like, we're making a new law that basically has the exact same instances as the old law, except this time we're alerting the European Union.
Why did it take them
that long?
Oh,
they had email. Mail, email, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. There was no email back then.
So I can tell you somebody got fired for not filing that paperwork with the EU.
That's very true. And of course, funny enough, the only organization that is eligible to classify such films, the BBFC, was named almost a year later to be the classifying authority, which I think it's weird. It's like, oh yeah, they need to be classified, but we don't really know who's going to classify it except this company that has been around for fucking 50 years, more than 50, 60, 70 years. And other things that kind of, to wrap things up, 80s saw the removal, the A rating became PG. They added ratings 12, 15, X became 18. And the sexual explicit films were rated R18. Which brings us to the final ratings in the UK, UPG 12A, 12, 15, 18, and R18. I feel like that's a lot of ratings.
That is a lot of ratings.
But that, in a nutshell, is the rating system of the United Kingdom.
That's a lot of info. And I feel like yours had a vast wealth of history to dive into, like going back to the 1916 with that. Australia is completely different. Like, they don't have a history in censoring anything at all until 1970. So I assume that either there was no rating system before 1970 or they used Great Britain's rating system. I'm not too sure on that, but I'm going to go with either one of those two scenarios. So in 1970, the Australian government started the Australian Classification Board, and their sole responsibility was to censor films and publications. And that is like flat out written in the law, like censorship of films.
Wow. Wait, but this wasn't government mandated, right?
It was, yeah. In Australia, okay. The Australian Classification Board is a government mandated film rating branch.
So it's like an office of the Australian government.
Right.
It's not like the cop out, like, oh, we're not really, but we are.
Yeah. No, Australia is very open about how they do things and how the Australian Classification Board works. So
I can see that, honestly. It's like a whole country of like California people.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of nice. They are responsible for some asshole censorship, but they are very open about how they do it and why they do it and what they do.
That's fair.
So at least they're being honest about it. So the Australian Classification Board, which I'm going to call ACB from now on because it's too much to say. in 1970, they were part of the Office of Film and Literature Classification. So that's another branch of the Australian government, but they were dissolved in 2006 and the ACB became its own branch of the government.
Okay.
The Department of Communications and the Arts now provides administrative support to the ACB, and decisions made by the ACB are reviewed by a different branch, the Australian Classification Review Board.
Jesus.
So, you know, we talked about with the MPAA, they're making ratings, and they're also handling the appeals process when you appeal a rating. So it's kind of fucked in that sense. At least Australia has two completely separate entities to handle the rating and then the appeal of the rating.
Right.
The ACB doesn't directly censor any material. It doesn't order any cuts or changes or anything like that. Like, if you sent your film in to be rated, you'll never know why it got that rating from the ACB. Like, it just has a R rating, and you don't know what you have to cut out of it to get it down to a G or a PG.
Wait, so you know how, like, you have the green title card, at least in the United States?
Right.
And it says rated R for sexual situations and extreme violence and nudity or whatever. Australia will just be like, rated R.
No, they have...
Okay. Right.
I will get to that, but they do have a set of guidelines for each rating. But if your movie hits one of those like bullet points in the higher up rating, it will automatically go to that rating.
Okay. So there's no like, oh, if you cut this scene where there's, you know, some guy brutally stabbing someone, then we'll give you the PG-13 rating.
No.
Or whatever the Australian equivalent is.
They can make recommendations like that, but normally they don't. And usually those are handled by an appeal from the producer, from the production company. And then that's handled by the other branch, the Australian Classification Review Board.
Okay. This is like almost like a government in itself just for film ratings. It's like the checks and balances.
Yeah.
It's like if like the executive branch of the film review, then the legislative branch of film review, and then just in case you have the judicial branch of film review.
Yeah.
You know, to make any other changes.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and everything operates under the Office of Film and Literature Classification, which is also under the Attorney General. It like I said, it doesn't actually cut or change anything in the movie, but it can censor anything by refusing to classify it, basically making it illegal to own or see or do anything with in Australia. The classification system has several levels of restricted categories prohibiting sale, exhibition, or use of some of the materials for those that are under the prescribed age for the rating system. So like you could literally go to jail for showing a kid who's 12, a 13, like a 15, like an R-15 movie or an M-15 movie.
That is excessive.
Yeah. Like it's not that it's PG-13 and no child under 13. It's like, if you bring a child in who's 12 and you say they're 13 and they find out, like they will fucking arrest you and send you to prison.
Damn.
Yeah. Australia's no joke. So the board was created in 1970, but they didn't actually have a rating system until November of 1971. And those ratings were G for general exhibition, NRC, which is not recommended for children. It's funny because the previous rating for NRC was X.
So that one also is not recommended for children.
Yeah. Mature and R. So there's only four ratings in 1971 when they first come out with this.
It sounds like to me there's rated G and then there's three rated R's.
Yeah, G and then...
NRC sounds like NC-17. Mature is... They're taking that from the ESRB. Mature games are always the super violent ones.
Yeah.
And you have to be 18 to play them.
Yep.
And then R is R.
In the late 1980s, R eventually became R18+. So nobody under 18 could see the movie out of fear of fucking your head getting chopped off.
Okay, so it's kind of like the similar to the UK's, which was also R18 for no one under 18 is allowed.
Correct, yes. In 1993, they added MA-15+. So they have G, NRC, M, MA-15+, and R18+, as of 1993.
My question is, why do they have the pluses if there's no, like, standard or minus?
Yeah, like, I don't understand right? The plus, because if it's, like, 15... Like, obviously, it's obvious.
Like, oh, well, maybe like 18 and over. Yeah, if you're saying like no one under 18 is allowed, well, obviously it's not just for people that are 18. Like, indicating that the plus, it's like, well, yeah, it's inferred.
The Office of Film and Literature Classification was formed in 1994, and they oversaw the classification board. And in 2005, they were dissolved, and the classification board was then transferred to the Attorney General's department. So rating films in Australia is basically the job of the Attorney General right now.
That's great. Well, the office.
The Attorney General. Yeah, like he's not sitting there watching.
He's like, fuck, there's so many cases, but I got to watch these movies and rate them.
So the current color classification markings for film and computer games was introduced in May of 2005.
Let me ask you this. I don't know if you know this question, but... Obviously, Australia is part of the Commonwealth of Nations under the UK. Did they at all borrow any of these things from the BBFC?
They did not. No. As of 1986, the Australian Act, which basically put into guidelines like the separation of Australia's government and the UK's government.
Yeah.
Everything was completely separate. So I don't think, unless it was prior to 1970, I don't think that they borrowed anything from... UK's rating system.
Right, they just kind of like ran things themselves.
Yeah, and then as of 1986, it kind of made it impossible for, you know, there to be interference between the two governments.
Right, no, it makes sense.
So the color-coded markings are as follows. E, gray, for exempt from classification. That would be any like educational material or artistic material.
Okay.
G, which is green. And this is where it explains like exactly how they rate the movies, which is kind of good because this is how, as I was talking about, if it meets one of the even higher ratings, it'll automatically jump to that rating.
Right.
So like your movie could be completely like Toy Story or something, but it has like a little bit of violence in it, automatic PG.
Really?
And it has like descriptions for each thing, so six categories, and it explains how you need to meet those. So there's themes, violence, sexual activity, coarse language, drug use, and nudity. So for G, for themes, for example, should have very low sense of threat or menace and be justified by context.
I mean, obviously, this is for like, you know, more of a legal basis, but I really hate when they're worded that way because I legitimately think of a censor scene like, well, the context was so and so. I guess I can give it the rating of G.
It's so subjective. And even still, that they outline it like, you know, going back to the MPAA, they don't really outline why they rate stuff the way they rate it.
Right.
At least we get some form of the six guidelines and then a little bit of a description of what warrants that rating. So we have G, green, PG, yellow, M, blue, MA15, restricted, is red, R18 plus is black, and X18 plus is black as well.
X18
is very interesting because obviously it's porn, but but with X18, it's completely banned. You are not allowed to have X18 rated movies in Australia.
That's, to come up with a rating that ends up being banned, that seems like a waste of time for the graphic artist.
Here's the thing. There is a loophole, like your UK one. There is a loophole. So it's illegal.
Direct to VHS.
Technically. It's illegal to buy it or sell it within Australia. But they do allow you to import from other countries any rating movie. Yeah.
Is the U.S. a high exporter of porn?
It is.
I never thought that porn would be considered an import or export.
Yeah, it's like pecans, cotton, porn.
Although technically, I think Pornhub is Canadian, so.
This rating actually caused a lot of sex shops to get raided.
Porn shops?
Yeah, porn shops.
Or sex shops. Or
sex shops, yeah, yeah.
But that had porn videotapes.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You're saying they're not similar, but it seems like they're following the same kind of trends.
It kind of does. But at least they're open about being completely fucked.
Yeah, that's true. They're like, yo, only porn if it's imported. We don't do it in the homegrown stuff. Australians don't do porn.
Yeah. And the last rating is basically the kiss of death for any movie in Australia. It's RC, refuse classification. And that basically means that they refuse to classify or rate your movie, and it's banned. And if you get caught selling it, it's $275,000 fine and or 10 years in jail.
Damn.
Yeah.
Again, this brings me back to the question of why have the rating then? Like, you can't market it. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh man, I got the RC. This is rated. Like, that's never. Like, if you're like, oh, a film got rated RC, you're just like, oh, that film is banned.
Right.
Like, why waste, you know?
Well, I guess the most popular RC movie is Texas Chainsaw Massacre, banned in Australia.
The 1970s one.
1974, yeah, banned.
So I'm wondering, is the whole creation of this office correlated to that film? They're just like, fuck that film, we're making a whole rating system?
Possibly.
Okay.
The ban was lifted in 1984. It was rated R18 plus.
Okay. Way more progressive than the UK then.
Yeah. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 was banned also. But Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 was not unbanned until 2006.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Okay. Never mind. I take that back. They were just like, maybe Texas Chainsaw 1 isn't that bad. 2 fucking sucks. Ban it.
Even worse, Human Centipede 2. I've seen the movie. It's fucking awful. From 2011. Originally got an R18 plus rating, but it was later banned.
Really? And 1 wasn't banned?
No.
Fuck those movies. Too Fast, 2 Centipede. Too Human, 2 Centipede. That one works. Oh, shit. We've had this test. We've had this test in the past of what can have the Too Fast, Too Furious moniker? Sign for a sequel. Yeah. And I think Two Humans, Two Centipedes works.
That's one of the very few that do work. I'll give you that, yes.
Bravo to Human Centipede.
A cinematic masterpiece. I want to talk about the appeals process because that's actually where I'm the most impressed with Australia. And it's actually the most interesting part of the whole rating system.
So my question is, how can you appeal a film if you don't know what the issues are.
So what happens is you get your rating back and then you immediately appeal to the Australian Classification Review Board. So if you do not agree with that rating, you can appeal it. And the Classification Review Board is the one that reviews it. Like I said, two separate entities, two completely different groups of people rating these movies, which I love. I don't like the fact that the MPAA has their members rate and review movies. Right. I think it's ridiculous. But you can actually go to the website, classification.gov.au, and find a list of all the appealed ratings and the appealed movies. And they give you a printout, an official printout with government letterhead stating the what happened in the appeal, what the rating was, what it was changed to, why it was changed to it. And then it gives you a breakdown of the six classifications that we talked about, which are themes, violence, sexual activity, coarse language, drug use, and nudity.
Right, right, right.
It gives you like a paragraph on each bullet point, each of the six bullet points, and then explains why it was rated the way that it was.
Okay, so you have to appeal it to essentially figure out why.
Yes. I actually read one of the appeals, and it was actually really interesting.
Really?
So there, I found a few on the site that I thought were interesting. So Jigsaw was rated R18+. Review Board changed it to MA15+. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Okay.
Split was rated M and was unanimously upheld as mature upon review.
Really? For what reasons?
Apparently they thought it should get a PG rating, but fuck, there's no way Split should have got a PG rating.
There isn't that. It isn't that crazy.
Yeah, but you got to go back to the six topics, and themes is a big, like, swear.
Kidnapping? Was that the...
Kidnapping and the whole split personality thing.
That's bad?
Well, it doesn't... It's not a good theme for, like, a hard... It's not a hearty theme.
Okay, so that's where the context thing comes in.
Yeah, it's definitely they're subjective.
Like, they're like, mental illness. Nope. You don't fuck around with that shit.
Not in Australia. Fuck that. Yeah. This was the one that I read, and it was Bumblebee, which was rated M and then changed to PG upon review.
What is M for again?
M for what mature. Audiences? M is recommended for mature audiences, so 15 years and over. Recommended for 15.
I mean,
it's like PG-13.
That's definitely like a 12-year-old movie.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like,
honestly, you could take little kids. It's a Transformers movie. There's nothing crazy about it.
Yeah. So in the review of Bumblebee, the movie, I found it interesting how they lay out the facts. And for each of the six, they have a description of why it was rated that. So themes, it specifically says this film includes the theme of a teenager coming to terms with the death of her father and two depictions of bullying behavior towards Charlie and other young people. And then it says their ruling on this says the impact of this element is no higher than mild and can be accommodated at the PG level.
Okay. So they did re-rate it.
They did, yes. That was one of the main reasons that it was rated mature was the death of her father and the bullying.
They don't ever show the father's death. It's
more
of her coping with it. If anything, you want to show that to a more general audience in the scenario that it does happen. That's a weird rating.
The document also specifically says, under language, it says, this film contains the use of shit, frickin', and screwed on one occasion each. The impact of this element is no higher than mild and can be accommodated by a PG level.
Interesting.
Yeah. So for each of the six, it says, like for sex, it says there is no sex in this film. Drug use, there is no drug use in this film. Nudity, there is no nudity in this film. So it's very specific on why it was rated the way it was the first time and why they're overturning it or keeping it the same.
Dude, I like that. That's great.
And anyone can go read any appeal that was done by a movie. This is a 6-page document describing why it was rated the way it was and why it was overturned.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm really happy with the level of openness that Australia has about that.
I feel like we need to do a whole episode on just like movies and guess what they were rated in Australia and why.
Yeah.
That's an episode. Hey, we'll spread from our Singapore audience to our Australia. I mean, that's close. They're right there.
So that's basically the history on the Australian rating system. It doesn't go back very far. From the 1970s to now is not that much time. And they haven't had a ton of revisions to how they rate stuff. They're very open, and they have been since the beginning, about why stuff is rated the way that it is. And I guess they haven't felt the need to change anything except for the modern day ratings that they have now.
Yeah, that is interesting. I did want to ask you about, like, when it comes to appeal process, and this is just me thinking as an American studio or American filmmaker that's submitting something to Australia, who exactly would be in charge of appealing that?
So
at a studio,
the major studios all have a Australia division. So Paramount is Paramount Australia. There's like Sony Australia, like pretty much everything Australia. They have a branch that's like solely their only job is to get stuff rated, get stuff like released, and get stuff reviewed by the review board.
Like, okay,
cool. That's the sole job of the studio, and also to handle production whenever they're in that country.
And I would assume that that person would relay the message to the filmmakers, right?
Yeah. So it's usually a conversation between that branch, the Australian branch, the American branch, and then they, I guess, agree to like cutting the film or changing the film, and then they go back and forth. Like they're the liaison between the American production company and the Australian classification board.
Right. All right, Kevin. Well, this is more of a topical last question for you. I guess, what do you think would probably be the most efficient rating system? Would it be UK, Australia, or United States?
It's tough for me because I want to say Australia because they're so open about it, but they're also dicks about censoring stuff. So I'm going to say the U.S. has, at least for now, until we dive into next week's topic, at least for now, I think the U.S. has so far the best rating system.
Interesting. Okay, so I'm going with U.K. on this one. Despite all their things, the amount of the treasure trove of knowledge, and again, I recommend for people, if they want to know more about stuff, go to the BBFC's website. It's very, very detailed. There are so many resources, and it was just an honest treat to be able to scour through it to find things out.
Yeah,
because they literally have every era, every decade. It's crazy. But yeah, so it was a little sneak peek. We never really do like a little tease, but as we'll see in next week. And guys, I feel like we don't say this enough, but give us a 5-star and even a review on iTunes or Google Play or whatever platform that you use. We're on all of them because that really helps us out, really helps us get out there. I know you guys love us, but give us a chance to be able to be seen by other people. Let them love us too. Grow this community together. Grow the Wicked Hot community together. We would definitely appreciate that. And as always, you know, share, like, retweet, all that good stuff on all of our platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, at Wicked Hot Talk. We're on there. We're ready to go. And we got t-shirts on our Wicked Hot Talk, our Wicked Hot Movie Mayhem, TeePublic account. Just get out there, guys. I mean, we really appreciate it. We love doing this stuff. We need your help. As always, Kevin, this was an amazing episode. We'll catch you guys in 2 weeks on another episode of Wicked Hot Movie Mayhem.
Bye, everybody.